All right, Jabosai, a good morning, a good yarn. First of all, welcome to everyone. I want to tell you just, I think, you know, part of the beauty of Daf Yomi is that it never stops. It's always ongoing. So for those of us, Baruch Hashem, who were zocheh to be together yesterday, so during the short break that we had between Musaf and Mincha, so we were using Makdimah Lemitzvahs, we learned in the Sukkah. Baruch Hashem, we must have had
100 people.
Somewhere between 55 and 100 people. It was a fast day. The numbers are a little bit hazy. That would be a little awake. There would be people there present. And Mamish, I have to tell you that the tefillos were beautiful and everything was magnificent. But to see such a committed group of beautiful neshamas, and I'm sure it wasn't just in our shul, I'm sure this was replicated in shuls throughout town. But, you know, it's so beautiful to see just a group of dedicated melamdim, or lomdim, excuse me, who are tired, are exhausted, are hungry, but yet in the few minutes that a person could have to sit down and go to sleep, instead choose to go ahead and open up a Sanhedrin. And again, everybody did the daf, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody did the daf yesterday. See, no, Ahmed Aleph wasn't exactly the most, not chasra, every daf is beautiful and magnificent and riveting. But it wasn't the most riveting. It was still riveting, but not the most riveting. But to be able to see Baruch Hashem, such a beautiful olam, and then to be able to see, you know, Baruch Hashem, to us, welcome back the Shavu Banim Legvulam, you know, some returnees to the Daf Yomi today also, Baruch Hashem. So it should just be a school for us. The coming year should hold for us incredible beracha. Each of us, for our mishpachos, as individuals, as a kehila, as a community, as an am. But there was, you should just know that bracha begins at 5:45 in the morning. I mean, not today, but bracha begins at 5:45 in the morning. The ability to sit and learn Torah benachos, the ability to sit, you know, someone just, we're just having this conversation. Where's Yaakov? Luxembourg. Just say Yaakov. Yaakov. Yaakov and I were just having this conversation last week, how the part of the beauty of learning in the mornings is there's absolutely nothing else you have going on at 5:45 in the morning. I mean, unless you work Eretz Yisrael hours. So if you're a person who lives in Chutz Lawrence or works Eretz Yisrael hours, which I haven't heard of somebody who does that, but if unless you're that, there's nothing else happening at 5:45 in the morning. 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock, there's always plenty of stuff going on. But it's an incredible thing. So if you want bracha in the year, start the day with bracha. Start the day with bracha. And there's only one way to start with bracha. And that's a blat gemara, a cup of coffee. On Sunday, a little bit of mazonos. I'm sorry? Musa. What about Musa?
Musa.
No, I say 5:45. 5:45. I'm not mechalik between Ganah and Muna. And Mesh, I got this. I promise. But really, again, it should be a year of bracha. But sometimes you can't wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the bracha to you. You have to go out and seek the bracha. So the same way we experienced the bracha on Yom Kippur, we experienced the bracha in Miratz Hashem this morning, we should be zochet to experience the bracha of Torah each and every day together for the coming year. Alright, so let's begin. So we left off yesterday, today's daf is Ayin Zayin 77. We left off yesterday in Ayin Vav on base 676b, right by the Gemara. So we went ahead and we learned the Mishnah. So we pick up now with the Gemara. Amr Shmuel, Mipnei Malo Ne'emra Yad Bebarzam. So we'll say the Gemara makes an interesting observation here. The observation is, if you look at Rashi, it's the last short line in Rashi, Yad Bebarzel, Kimoshe Ne'emar, Be'even Yad, Be'kli Eitz Yad, Mashma Sheyesh Bamali Achiza. It will say, when the Torah normally goes ahead and speaks about utensils, also the Shir is dedicated this morning, Baruch Hashem, beautiful to have so many sponsors as well, by Sa'id and Sima Hagen. I'm giving you a bonus day. I'm giving you one bonus day. You get Isru Chag as well. So again, it's still part of Sayyid. I'm not ready for the Yamim No Rhyme. I have separation anxiety from the Yamim No Rhyme. So still the Yamim No Rhyme today. So to the Hakins for dedicating the Shir in honor of the Yamim No Rhyme and Isru Chag of Yom Kippur, that all of Klal Yisrael should have a chasima tova, piska tova, good kvittel. To Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, who have dedicated the entire month of learning in honor of the Kehila. To Mr. Samuel, who has also dedicated the entire month of learning. Le'ilui Nishmas, his beloved wife, Esther Bas Harav, Yechiel Meir HaKon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. Right. So the Gemara picks up on something very interesting. When the Torah speaks about utensils, and sometimes killing someone or accidental killing. So the Gemara often talks about the yad, talks about a handle, right? So why is it the Gemara says that when it comes to other materials, the Torah speaks about a yad, a handle of the utensil, yet bebarzel, when it comes to iron, the Torah makes no mention of yad. So the Gemara says, or it's not just the Torah, it's also in Mishnaic literature. So the Gemara says, shat barzel meimis becholshu. Why? Because iron has a special ability to kill with any amount. With any amount. Tanya Nami Akhir Bas, we have a brisa that supports this. Rabbi Omer Galui v'yadolef neimish amar v'haya olam. It is known before he who said the world should come into existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shat barzel meimis becholshu. Then I both say, ultimately, again, barzel, that iron has the ability to kill in any small amount. Lefichach lo nitra nitna bo Torah shir. Therefore, Rabbi say, whereas the Torah speaks about other utensils, about handles and the like, when it comes to barzel, the Torah does not speak about handles, but rather, again, to tell us that barzel, iron in any amount, has the ability to kill. V'hani mili de barzi mivras. But this, of course, is only if the iron goes ahead and comes through a vital organ. Or it's iron anywhere does it, but if iron pierces a vital organ, that Tosis points out over here, but one second, he says a coat, a throne that also goes in and pierces a vital organ. Okay, we'll leave that on the side. But the point the Gemara is making over here, Bosei, is that we know iron, really what the Gemara is driving at, Bosei, is that iron is the paradigmatic example of an item or a utensil that kills. That's why we know, again, where do we first find this in the Torah? We find this in the Torah where the Torah tells us that when building the Mizbeach, you have to use hewn stones, but you can't hew the stones with iron. You cannot go. Shabbosai, of course, creates an incredible, incredible difficulty, which is Shlomo HaMelech, when building the Beis HaMikdash, had to employ the use of this interesting bria called the Shamir, which was able to cut through stones and did not require iron. Mostly just for our purposes, you know, many have the minug, that by Birkas HaMazon, you do not leave the knife on the table. So we'll say, so that comes from the Beis HaMikdash. This same idea. Why is it that you can't go ahead and hew the stones of the Beis HaMikdash with iron? Because Rashi HaKadosh says, Rani Mishpatim, that iron goes ahead and cuts down the life of man. Meaning iron is the paradigmatic use of material used for weapons. Iron is primarily used to cut down the life of man. The Mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash, is there to prolong the life of man. And therefore, again, you can't make the Beis HaMikdash, you can't make the Mizbeach with iron. So again, some have the Minog. Since the Gemara says that the table of a person is like a Mizbeach, Shabbosai is an incredible, incredible opera. That's why Hachnasas Orchim is such a big thing. That's why what you speak about at your table is so important, because the table is like a Mizbeach. So therefore, some have the Minog to remove the knife, which is iron, from the table prior to Birkas HaMazon. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Uh-huh. So Gemara says, V'kavash alav l'soch hamay. So I say, remember, the Mishnah spoke about the interesting case of where someone, Reuven, kills Shimon by holding Shimon underneath the water. Holds him under the water. So the Mishnah says that ultimately, again, if Reuven does this, so Reuven is chayev nisa. So I will say, when reading the Mishnah yesterday, even in our, I'm not going to say Yom Kippur sleepiness, I think it's more like nevuah, because I assume that everybody who was closing their eyes during the shir yesterday was in a state of prophecy. His mamash said, wow, I was jealous. I wish I could prophesize like that. But again, I will say, we already saw in the Mishnah, it's very strange. Like, the Mishnah tells me that if Reuven holds Shimon's head underwater and Shimon dies, that Reuven's chayim. I will say, that doesn't seem to be such a chidish, so we're going to see in the Gemara what this means. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabusa Kamash Malon, V'sefer Rabusa Kamash Malon. So we'll say, remember again, there were two different cases in the Mishnah. Now remember, the Mishnah grouped the cases of fire and water together. Push someone into fire, push someone into water. Case number one is I push someone in and they can't get out. Really, I can't get out. Why? Because I'm holding their head under the water. Right? I'm holding their head under the water. Case number two is I push them in, but they're able to get out, but they don't. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabusa Kamash Malon, V'sefer Rabusa Kamash Malon. The first part of the Mishnah is coming to teach me a chiddush. The second part of the Mishnah is coming to teach me a chiddush. What's the chiddush? Reisha Rabusa Kamash Malon, Afal Gav Dulav Ihu Dachvu, Kevan Dein Yochol Lalos Misham, Bosei Umeis Chayiv. Bosei, what's the novelty of the Reisha? Listen to this. The novelty of the Reisha is that even though, what the case of the Reisha is, Reuven's in the water. I should say it differently. Shimon's in the water already. Reuven comes along, and what does he do? He holds his head under the water. Now, I might have thought that because it wasn't Reuven who put Shimon in the water to begin with. But Shimon put himself in the water, even though Reuven comes up, meaning whatever it is, Shimon was swimming. Reuven comes along afterwards and pushes his head under it, doesn't let him come up for air. So Reuven kills him. But I would have thought that since Reuven didn't put Shimon in the water, that perhaps he shouldn't be Chayiv Misa. Rabbi say, by the way, when we say Chayiv Misa, we mean in the hands of a Beis Din. No one's arguing that if you hold someone's head underwater and they die, that you're going to be chayiv. But maybe it's only chayiv klapei shmaya. Maybe it's only chayiv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But maybe a Beis Din cannot hold you liable in a case where you did not go ahead and push the person into the water. Kamashmolon, the Gemara says, afagav de dachvo. I'm sorry. Afagav de lav ihu dachvo. Even though I didn't push Reuven into the water, kevan de nyochol lalos misham. Since what? I am preventing Reuven from coming out of the water, i.e., I'm holding his head under the water, umeis, and he dies, chai. So we'll say that's the novelty of the Mishnah. Excuse me, that's the novelty of the Reisha. The novelty of the Reisha is, even though I didn't push Reuven in the water, but I just simply held, not simply, but I simply held his head under the water, I'm going to be chai for that. So we'll say, you understand what's happening over here. What's happening here is the Gemara is presenting an interesting havamina. That maybe to be chai for killing someone, I have to introduce all of the variables, or not all, of all the ingredients, we'll call it, all of the circumstances that ultimately cause death. So if Reuven dies by drowning, I have to introduce him, so to speak, to the water. But if I don't put him in the water, he comes into the water on his own. Even though I hold his head under there, maybe I'm not chayiv in a base. Then I'll be chayiv klapei shmaya, not in a base. Kamashalom, no. Kamashalom, that again, even though I didn't put him in the water, if I hold his head under him, chayiv. Sefer Abu Simashalom. I'll say, what's the chiddush of the sefer? Afagav the dachvo, even though I pushed him in, kevan di yachol lalos misham umeis pater nabosa. Now this case is very interesting. I push Reuven into water. Reuven has the ability to get out of the water, but for whatever the reason, he didn't. For whatever the reason, he didn't. Nabosa. Now what does he mean for whatever reason he didn't? Let's say for argument's sake, it was. I'm sorry?
Or if he can't swim.
Then he can't get out of the water. So that's not this case. It's not this case. So again, remember, I'll give you a simpler case. Let's say I push Reuven into water, which he could easily get out of, but because he was just so surprised, he has a heart attack and he dies. So am I chai for that? So we'll say, the answer to that is no. I'm not chai, at least in a Beis Din for that. So we'll say, the idea over here is, if I pushed him into water and he could have gotten out, leave aside my heart attack case, we'll get to that tomorrow. But we'll say, but again, he could have gotten out, but for some reason he doesn't. So halacha lemaisa, again, I am pater. Now again, I want to be clear. Pater means Beis Din can't punish me. I would, again, not knowing the cheshbonos of the Ribono Shel Olam, but one would have to imagine that there's definitely some type of divine liability for engaging in this type of behavior. So the Gemara says, afagav de dachvo, even though I'm the one who pushed him, kevan de yachalalos misham, since he had the ability to come out of there on his own, if he wanted to, umeis, and he died, pater, fine. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, so that's the novelty of the Reish and the Seifa. Kavash minala. It's actually very interesting. How do I know? Now, I will say, kavash literally means capturing or restraining someone. How do I know that keeping someone in place, and resulting in their death, ultimately, again, I am liable for that? And I will say, you know, what does that mean? The paradigmatic case of killing someone, I know this sounds strange, right? I will say, right? What's the biblically paradigmatic case of killing someone? Stab him, right? You go in and you kill someone. You take a knife, you punch it into their heart. That's death. That's death. People say, what we're now dealing with over here is where I go ahead and I confine someone in a space. Now, again, we're going to see many examples of this. The Mishnah's example is, I'm confining Reuven in a space. Where's the space? Under the water, right? Under the water. So we'll say, so again, understand. And we'll say, yeah, see, you think it to yourself, this is so obvious. Really, the Gemara needs to prove this. Well, so just you have to understand something. For a Jew, nothing is MS until the Gemara proves it. Right? Meaning that as much as we like to rely on our senses, we spoke about this yesterday in my politically incorrect rant in the Sukkah. Right? But it, which is not online, won't be online. Right? You know what I'm saying? But again, but understand, you know, we think we know everything because we're very sensitive people. Everybody's sensitive and this and blah, 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 blah. The truth is, a Jew knows what he knows, because the Ribono Shel Olam teaches it to me and the Torah tells it to me. So as much as I say to myself, I need a pasuk or I need a drasha to teach you that if you hold someone's head underwater, that you're going to be chayiv for killing him. And the answer is yes, because it does not resemble the paradigmatic case of murder. So how do I know that if I'm kavash, if I restrain someone in place and as a result they die, that I'm chayiv misa? So the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel Damakra O Be'eva. So we'll say, interestingly enough, because the Pasuk says the following. The Pasuk says, O Be'eva Hiko. So that Lashon of Eva, Rabbeinu say, refers to other deleterious acts, other acts of anger, other acts of rishus that ultimately go ahead and mean even restraining someone in place and resulting in the death of the rabbos, as mitzamtzim. So go ahead, and again, this lashon is very interesting. Mitzamtzim literally means confining. We're going to talk about a number of cases like this, where I confine someone to a space, and as a result of that confinement, they die. Therefore, that word Eva is not really necessary. So therefore, again, we dash it from Be'eva means any time that you go ahead and act in a negative way towards them, which Chazal understands mean confining them to a space, and as a result, they die, you're chayiv. The Gemara tells a story. Hu gavro, t'mitzamtzim alechiyusei dechavre. Now, we'll say, now, this is not a capital case. This is an Ezekin case. There was a guy who said, so I take Reuven's animal, I took his shor, and I confined it b'shimsha. Umesis, we'll say, what did I do? I went ahead and I confined the animal. So what is confined? Literally, I put a fence around it right in the middle of the sun. So it's midday. It's and the animal can't run away. The animal can't get water. It can't get anything. So what happens? It died from exposure. So this is a case of where I killed the animal through confining it. So what's talocha? Ravina mechayiv. Ravina says I'm chayiv. And Rav Acha Barav Pater. Rav Acha Barav Senam Pater. Ravina, so we'll say, why is this? Let's understand this machlokes. Ravina Mechayiv. Ravina said, you're chayiv, why? Kavachomer. So he makes Kavachomer. Marot Seach. Shalom Asoba Shogig Kemezid. Va'oni is Kiratzon. Rav Acha, when it comes to murder, so we don't treat Shogig like Mezid. Right? Rav Acha, an accidental case of killing someone is not like an intentional case. And Onis Kiratzon, we don't treat an extenuating circumstance like a willful circumstance yet. Chayiv Bo Asam Etzam Seim. Rav Acha, we just established, if you go ahead and you kill someone by confining them, you are chayiv. Bo Asam Etzam Ayin Zayin. Nezikin, Sha'asaban Shogi Kemezid Va'onis Kiratzon. Now we'll say when it comes to Nezikin, there is no distinction between Shogig and Mezid and Onis Kiratzon. Why not? Why not? Remember from our Baba Kama days, why not? Adam. Shkoyach. Adam Wadli Olam. That a person is always. By the way, Seth just saved all of you. I just want to point that, right? Because we were going to start a second share of Baba Kama. So I didn't answer that, right? Adam Wadli Olam. Because the Bible says a person is considered to be responsible for all damages, meaning there's no such thing. The Bible says it's important. You sowed. You get into a car accident with someone. It's an accident. What's the halacha? Yuchayev. Yuchayev. You go ahead and you roll over utensils while you're sleeping. What's the halacha? Yuchayev. Why? Because Adam Muadli Olam. Now again, there are other cases of extenuating circumstances, which I'm not going to get into now. But the point that Gemara is making over here, the Bible says, when it comes to capital cases, when it comes ultimately to a person who kills another person, we make a distinction between shogeg and ratzon, onis and, or shogeg and mezid, onis and ratzon, yet mitzamtzem, confining someone, and as a result, killing them, your chayiv. By nezikin, Ravina posits, by nezikin, ultimately, again, where there is no distinction between shogeg, mezid, ones, ratzon, because adam or the olam, ain't odin shechayv and esam etzamtzim. Then, of course, you should be chayiv for nezikin, ultimately, again, through etzamtzim. Therefore, Ravina Paskins, that what? If I went in and I take Reuven's animal and I penned it off in a way that it can't escape the beating down and it dies as a result of exposure, I'm going to be chayiv for that. Rav Acha Barav Potter. So Rav Acha Barav said, it's Potter. Amra Mesharshia. So Mesharshia said, my taima do avu ad abba. So Mesharshia said, what's the reason of your grandfather that he said that ultimately you're potter? Amra Kresu will say, we're trying to figure out now what's Rav Acha Barav's logic. Why does he ultimately hold that you will be potter? So the Gemara says, Amra Kra, mos yumas hamake rotzeachu. So we'll say the Pasuk says that the murderer will be put to death. But rotzeachu dechayev lametzam seim, benezikin lo chayev lametzam seim. So also, Rav Acha Bar Abba seems to have a very simple, seems to have very simple logic. His logic is that the din of mitzamtzim, most yumas harotzeach, so the din of mitzamtzim is dafka din by rotzeach. It's just simply meaning he's understanding it as exeris hakosav. He's understanding it ultimately again that it's just not a din in Nezikin. It is only a din that is applied to Rotzeach. So we'll say, again, how do we paskin? So we paskin like Ravina. We paskin that ultimately, again, that if you go ahead, and I will say, we're going to get into the very interesting distinctions between Mitzamtzim and Grama, so we're going to get through that today. But again, in a pure sense, if I take Reuven's animal and I pen it off, I don't know if that's the right word, but you understand what I mean. I pen it off in a way that it cannot get anywhere. And it's clear that it dies as a result of exposure to the sun. We pass in like Ravina, that ultimately, again, I am chayiv for that. Now, again, that's going to sound very similar to other cases of grama causation, which I'm not going to be chayiv for, but at least in the pure sentence, I would be chayiv. Amar Rabba. So it's like Gemara goes right to get ready for this. Kafso, umeis berav. We'll say, let's say again, I take Reuven. Amen. Say thank you. Ari, thank you. Sorry. Thank you both. Thank you to everyone. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rava. Kaf so meis berav. So listen to this interesting case. I go ahead and I tie up Reuven. And as a result, what happens? He dies of starvation. And Rabbi said, when does he die of starvation? At some point in the future. Whenever it is. A day, 2 days, 3 days. But he dies of starvation. What's that? Locha potter. Rabbi said, I, the tire, and putter. So we'll say, what's the logic? We'll look at Rashi. And then we'll say, this is very important because this is going to give us principles that are going to help guide us to the rest of the daf. Kafso mispirav. Rashi says, the bishasha kafso ain kan dvar hariga. We'll say, why my putter? Because at the time that I tied him up, the elements that would ultimately cause his death were not present. Meaning he starves a few days later. But at the time that I tied him up, there was nothing, the circumstances that would ultimately cause his death were not present. V'harav b'me'ilav, starvation comes later on. V'holich v'chazak la'achar zman kosha. So we'll say, essentially what Rav is saying is the following. We'll say, in order to be chayav for murdering someone, at the moment, the circumstances for their death must be present at the time that I take decisive action. So for example, when I hold Reuven's head under the water which ultimately causes his death, meaning the water which causes the suffocation, is present. I throw him into the fire which ultimately will kill him is present. I tie Reuven up, and he dies from starvation 3 days later. At the time that I tied him up, the circumstances that ultimately would cause his death were not present at that time. The fact that I know that what? If I leave him tied up, and I want to, he's going to die from starvation, I will say, it's certainly not a good thing. Meaning, again, and there certainly might be a level of chi of klape shmai in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but from Dine Adam, unless the circumstances that would cause his death are present, at the time that I initiate action, I am not chayiv. V'amarava. Similarly, again, I will say, kafsa b'chama umes, betzino umes chayiv. If I tied Reuven up, and what? I tied him up in the sun. So we'll say again, it's high noon, and it's burning hot outside, and it's the middle of the desert, and it's clear no one could survive this, and I tie him up in the sun, or again, or I tie him up in the Antarctic without a coat. So we'll say, so therefore in these cases, what's happening over here? The elements that will cause his death are what? Are present right now. Chayiv, therefore I'll be chayiv. However, again, the Bible says, let's say I tie him up in the morning, in the desert, where it's not so hot. V'sof chamalavo. But I know the sun's going to rise. And what's going to happen? It's going to kill him as a result of exposure. Or sof tsina lavo, where I tie him up in the Antarctic. And what happens? But right now, it's warm, but it's going to get cold later on. So what's that? Look, I will say potter. So we'll say, this is Rava just espousing the same principle with different applications. The only time I'm chayiv for killing someone is if the circumstances that will bring about their death are present at the time of my action. But if at the time of my action, the circumstances, quote unquote, we'll call it innocuous. Even though we all know that the other circumstances are going to come about, then halacha lemaaseh again, I will be potter. Incredible. V'amarava, Bosei is another incredible case. V'amarava, kafso lifnei ari. Bosei, listen to this case. I tie up Reuven in front of a lion. It's right. It's been a busy day for me, right? It's only 8:30 in the morning, and I've killed Reuven 15 ways. Right? So the Gemara says, "V'amarava kavso lifneari pater." Rabbi says it's very interesting. Now, what's this case over here? If you look at Rashi, "Kavso lifneari pater diinami lohaya kafos lohaya yachal lahatzil asaminari." So Rabbi says the case over here is really what's happening here, as it seems to be. This is the way the Rashi understands the case as well. I'm essentially putting Reuven in front of the lion. So Rabbi says the bottom line is, whether I tie Reuven up or I leave him untied, one thing is clear, which is he's getting eaten, right? One way or another, this guy's getting eaten. Because again, Lemaisa, it's a circumstance where he won't be able to escape the lion. So because he can't escape the lion, the fact that I tied him up didn't really compromise him anymore. So therefore, again, Kavsa Lefnei Ari, Pater Lefnei Yitushin, into this. Bless you. But if I went ahead and I tied him up in front of gnats, so we'll say, this is interesting. I tie him up, so what ends up happening is the gnats, mamish, I guess if you get bitten by gnats enough, or maybe they're disease-carrying gnats, whatever it is, they kill him. It's like mamish goes back to our flea circus, those of you who are here for Rosh Hashanah. Right? So the idea over here is he dies as a result, ultimately, again, of the gnats. So I will say, if I tied him up and he dies of the gnats, then I'm chayav. Why, Rabbi Osai? Why? Because if he wasn't tied up, then what? Then what? He would be able to shoo the gnats away. He could have saved himself. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi, Amar Afilu Lefnei Yitushin Nami Pater. Rav Ashi says, no, even by the Yitushin, Rabbi Osai, I'm still going to be Pater. Why? Hani Azli Vahani Asli. Because also, listen to this. Even if there were gnats who were present at the time that I tied him up, Bepashtos, it's not the same gnats who kill him. Whereas the gnats who were there at the time I tied him up left, and there are new gnats who came who were not present at the time I tied him up, and therefore again I will be potter. So the Gemara goes like this: Itmar Kafal of Gigis. Also, this is very interesting. Kafal of Gigis. I went ahead and I put a barrel over Reuven. So let's say, so what happens? Rashi says, umes bahavlo. So essentially he suffocated. I put, havlo means literally foul air, bad air. What it really means is he suffocated. So I put the barrel over him in a way that there's no air, and he suffocates. Or, upara alav ma'aziva. Rashi says, over here, upara alav ma'aziva. V'zeh haya yashen. V'nichnas sham hatzina patr shahorik bala akrasman. So let's say, what happens? Reuven's sleeping, and I remove his roof. So what happens as a result of removing his roof? Over the course of the night, it's going to get very cold, and he freezes to death. So I will say, in these cases, Rabba Rabbi Zera, it's a machlokes. Rabba Rabbi Zera. Chad Amar Chayiv, one says that you're Chayiv, the Chad Amar Potter, and one says that you're Potter. So I will say, Tis time to Rabba Hudo Amar Potter. So the Pashtos, it sounds like it's Rava who says that you're Potter. Why, I will say, Do Amar Rava, Kafso umes beraf potter. Because also remember, Rava's of the opinion, we've seen in three different cases. What does Rava say, Rabbi Osai? That if the circumstances which caused the death of the individual are not present at the time of my action, bless you, even though I know they're going to come about later, I'm not chayiv. So Rabbi Osai, bepashtos, according to Rava, if I put the barrel over Reuven, right, what's going to be the halacha, Rabbi Osai? What would be the halacha, according to Rava? I should be potter. Why? Because I will say, it doesn't suffocate instantaneously. At the time that I went ahead and I put the barrel over him, then what? Then Lamaise again, he still has air. He runs out of air later on. Or he's sleeping, and what happens again? What happens? I remove the roof. Does he freeze to death that moment? No. He freezes to death later on. So I will say, Bepashtos. So remember again, we have Machlokis. One says Chayiv, one says Potter. The Gemara says, Bepashtos, it sounds like it's Rava who would say Potter, because Rava's of the opinion that if at the time of my action, the circumstances which would bring about Reuven's death, we're not present, even though what, I know that they're absolutely going to come about, but since they're not here now, therefore I'm going to be potter. Adirabo, just the opposite. This time, Rabbi Zeru, Domer Potter. I can make the argument that it's Rabbi Zeru who says that you're potter. How so? Domer Rabbi Zeru, get ready for this. Hayman, da'ayli lechavrei bebeisa deshisha. If I put Reuven in a marble home, now, what does that mean, a marble home? So Rashi says over here, Bebeis of the Shisha, Shesasum Bioser, they're both saying it's closed off, meaning it's airtight, Ve'in Hevel Ha'or Vahaner Yachal Latzeis Mimenu. And they're both saying, ultimately, again, so there is, meaning, it's airtight. That's the idea over here, is it's an airtight. The reason, they're both saying, a marble structure, apparently, at least from the Gemara's perspective, was a structure you can make airtight. So I put Reuven in the airtight structure, and what happens? Va'ad likle shraga, and I light a candle, and I will say, what happens if you put someone in an airtight structure with a candle? The candle burns up the oxygen. So says the Gemara, umes, and as a result, Reuven dies. As a result, Reuven dies. So chayiv. I will say, I am chayiv. Now, why am I chayiv? Taima da'ad likle shraga. Now, I will say, the reason I'm chayiv is why? Because I lit the candle. Because by lighting the candle, what did I do? I actively deprived the room of oxygen. So therefore, again, the Gemara views it as if I am actively sucking the oxygen out of the room. But again, if I didn't light a candle, then again, it would seem to be that what? I wouldn't be chayiv. Amri Hassam. So the Gemara says, no, that case is different. Don't bring a right from that case. Because Hassam, below Shraga, lo maschil havla b'shaite. Look at Rashi. So turn the daf. Hassam, in that case over here, by the airtight home, below Shraga, lo maschil havla b'shaite. Look at Rashi. Top of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, b'shaite, miyad b'shas kafiya, maschil v'achakach holich v'chazak. Hacha, below Shraga, nami maschil havla b'shaite. So we'll say, here's the difference. In the case of the airtight structure, so the ma'isa, again, I'm not chai for putting Reuven in the airtight structure because at the time that I put him in there, he's fine. Now, granted, I know he's going to run out of air, but he's fine. It's only when I light the candle that I begin to actively deprive him of what? That I begin to actively deprive him of oxygen. Masha'inkin, in the barrel case, Rabbo say, in the barrel case, when you put someone in a barrel, we'll say that air, what the Gemara calls, that air is foul. That air is bad from the beginning, and therefore, again, it's considered as if I'm actively putting the person to death in that very moment. So we'll say, so we end off that case with a machlokis about what to do regarding the barrel case and what to do regarding the airtight home case. Then we'll say, now, bottom line, we happen to paskin like Rava in these cases. So therefore, the principle, that's why the principle is important. Anytime you put someone in a circumstance which will not result where the ingredients for their immediate death are not present, even though we know Misa Asid Lavo, even though we know how this story is going to end, but because the ingredients or because the circumstances for immediate death are not present, therefore what? I'm going to be potter. They both say this will get more into the halacha of what we call grama, because this then becomes causative circumstances, and one cannot be chayv in a beis din for causation. Now, again, being clear, not being the Ibn Shalom, I would venture to say this person is certainly chayv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what I did. He knows what I'm achshav as well. I got off on a technicality, but l'maisa, I cannot be chayv in a beis din. So Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rava, dachfo labar. We'll say these are riveting cases. I go ahead and I push someone into a pit, and what happens? Vesulam babar. And Abu Sa'id, there is a ladder in the pit. So what happened over here? I pushed Reuven into a pit, but what? He could get out. Now Abu Sa'id, now here, again, going back to our Baba Kama days, if you remember, there are two ways that a bar could kill. Seth can't answer this one. But there are two ways that a bar can kill. What are the two ways that a bar can kill? Right? Either, again, good, depth, right? Meaning if the bar is deep enough, a person dies upon impact. Or air, hevel, right? Foul air, bad air. So whatever the circumstances are over here, I push Reuven into the bar. So Rashi happens to point out over here that it's a din in hevel. But it doesn't really matter. So again, Rava says, again, dachvo le bar. I go ahead and I push Reuven into the pit. And what happens? Vesulam babar. But Rabbi said, here's a case of, although, again, it's not good that I pushed him. And again, I want to be clear, I might be chayiv for damages as a result of pushing him into a pit, but he has the ability to get out. And then what happens? Uba achar v'silko. Both said, then we'll listen to this case. I push Reuven into the bar. Shimon comes along and says, finally someone pushed Reuven into the bar. And then what happens? He takes the ladder. So now Reuven can't get out of the bar, right? And as a result, dies. Or, both said, let's make it even more interesting. V'afilu hukidim v'silko. Rabbi said, what happens? I push Reuven into the bar. When I push him into the bar had a ladder. After I pushed him in, then what? I take away the ladder. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Potter. We'll say, get ready for this. Why? We'll say, this is amazing. And again, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, even though it doesn't sound intuitive. Rabbi was saying, based on the principle of Rabba, we understand that the only time you're going to be chayiv misa is when, Rabbi was saying, when there's no way out. In other words, when at the time that I did the act, so the circumstances, all the circumstances for that would result in the death of the individual were present. So Rabbi said, in this case over here, I pushed Reuven into a bar that really was not capable of killing him. Why was not capable of killing him? Because there was a ladder, because there was a way out. So Rabbi said, therefore again, because of that, at the act of pushing is not called one that ultimately again could have killed Reuven. The fact that now afterwards, someone else takes the ladder, or Rabbi said, even better, I go back and take the ladder, and Reuven dies in the bar, I will not be chayev misa. Because essentially what the halacha says is, We look at your act at the time it was committed, or except when we don't. We'll see that in just a little bit. But I will say, so we look at the act when it was committed. When I committed the act and I pushed him into a bar, this was not an act that would make me chayiv. Misa, why? Because Reuven had a way out of the bar. Similarly, again, I will say, Vamarava, Zorok Chetz, listen to this case, I will say, I shot an arrow at Reuven. Utris biyadov. Don't worry, Reuven has a shield. Reuven has a shield. And what happened? Uba achar v'natlo. I will say, now what happens? After I shot the arrow, someone came and grabbed Reuven's shield. So what happens, Nebuch? What happens, Nebuch? He gets killed by the arrow. But again, I will say, to be clear, when I shot the arrow, he had the shield in his hand. Vafiluhu kadav v'natlo. I will say, whatever the Metzias over here is, right? Or I shot the arrow, and what happens? I will say, I take the shield from Reuven right after I shoot the arrow. Right after I shoot the arrow, and ultimately, again, as a result, Reuven dies. So we'll say the halacha is, by the way, Tosfos points it out over here. Right, Rashi says over here, the case is, Rafilu hu kadam, hazorik es achetz, veratz la achar zrikas achetz, kodem shiagi achetz lechavero, venat la chusim veros. I'm very fast. the Metzias doesn't matter. I will say, the point over here is, that Lemaisa, the shield is taken away from Reuven after the arrow was already shot. What's the halacha potter? I am potter. Why Rabbi say? Because Rabbi say, at the time I shot the arrow, was the arrow lethal? Was the arrow lethal? The answer is no. Why? Why? Because Reuven was holding a shield. So Rabbi say again, these are all the same, these are just examples of the same principle. I am only chayiv misa if my act was lethal. And the way we define my act as being lethal is at the time I committed the act would definitely result in the death of the victim. But if the circumstances were such that my act was not defined as lethal, i.e., it would not result in the death of the victim, even though something changed afterwards, I am not chayiv. Amar Rava. Zavak, this case I will say. Zarak bochets v'saman abiyadav. Listen to this case. I shoot Reuven with an arrow. No shield. I shoot him with an arrow. But I will say, the good news is, he has the medicine in his hand to treat the wound. So I happen to know Reuven's an EMT, let's say. So I happen to know he always carries his bag. He's a Hatzalah guy. Right? He always has his bag with him. And a siren, of course. Right? He's got his bag with him. So what happens, I will say? So I shoot the arrow. And what happens? But I know he has the ability to treat the wound. So I say, what's the halacha? Uba acharu pizron. So I say, what happens? After I shot the arrow, someone stole his bag. Fafilu hu kadam pizron literally means scattered the remedy. But if somebody stole his bag, what happens? Fafilu hu kidem pizron. Or I run after that. Right? I run to Reuven and I steal his bag. What's the halacha? And as a result, he dies of the arrow wound because he can't treat it. What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? Potter. I am potter. Why? Because I will say again, at the time that I shot the arrow, was the shooting of the arrow a lethal act? And the answer is no. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because I knew, we all knew, that the ability for him to treat the wound was there, and therefore, again, even though that changed after I released the arrow, I am still going to be potter. I'm Rabbi Ashi. Hilchok. So Rabbi Ashi says, well, using that logic, afilu saman and b'shuk. Even if Reuven himself didn't have the bag with him, the medic bag, but there was treatment available in the shuk, and apparently again the shuk was nearby, I'm also going to be potter. Listen to this case. This is amazing. This is really amazing. What happens if at the time I release the arrow, I'm shooting Reuven, I shot the arrow. Reuven had no gauze, had nothing. He had nothing to treat the wound. And then what happens? After I released the arrow, he got a first aid kit. So by the time the arrow hit him, he had the first aid kit. So what's the halacha? Mahu, what's the halacha? Supposed to hear this case. Was my act lethal? The answer is yes. Meaning at the time I shot the arrow, he had absolutely no, you know, medical utensils with him. And therefore, he would have died as a result of this arrow. It was a lethal arrow. It just happens to be that what occurred, that he got the medic bag before the arrow hit him. What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? So listen to this. I'm related. Now, Rabbi Osai, if you are a Rava purist, what would you say? Chayef. Right? But watch this. Rabbi Osai. I'm related. So you surrounded to him. Hare yotza mi beizin zakai. I'm telling you, That guy is walking out of Beis Din scot-free. He's walking out of Beis Din. Listen, Rabbosan, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Yatsami Beis Din Zakai. Kilomar, Hoil Vakodem Amdu Badin, Matsulo Schus, Eilon Lechaibo. Rabbosan, essentially the Gemara answer is, listen, as much as it was a lethal arrow, you can't actually find someone guilty if what? If the guy's alive. Meaning, so here's what's interesting. As much as if you're a purist, right, so Lemaisa, again, the man committed a lethal act, but because the victim lived, as a result, ultimately, again, because he got the medicine, he got whatever the remedy, so Lemaisa, again, there's no way you could convict the individual. V'amar Rava, Rava goes weiter. We'll say, now we get into another ik. It keeps getting better. V'amar Rava, incredible. Zorak Tzreba Kosa, we'll say, get ready for this. We're going to get now into situation, well, I don't have to tell you, we'll see it. Zorak Tzreba Kosa. I throw a stone against the wall. The stone ricochets off the wall. Vaharga, and it hits Reuven and kills him. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Chai, I'm chai. We'll say, now what's the metzias over here? Look at Rashi just a moment. Zarak Tzrabakol. So Rashi says, v'niskavein larog eschaveiro. Now we'll say, the case over here is, I want to kill Reuven. That's the case. I want to kill Reuven. I want to kill him with the stone. But I decide to do what Rashi says. V'zarak tzror v'hikah b'kosa b'koach. V'chazor mikocho l'achori v'hargo chayiv d'hanna mikochu. So we'll say, the case over here is I want to kill Reuven with the stone. I happen to be a very proficient stone thrower, so I decide to ricochet the stone off the wall to hit Reuven. So we'll say, this is not an accidental death. This is an intentional act. So what's the halacha? Rava says, the halacha is, I'm chayif. Vitana tuna. And Rava says, we have a braisa that supports this. So he going, Elu ha-mesachakin begadar. Rava says, so I guess this is like the Talmudic equivalent, like a wall ball. You know, this is mamish, you know, like, this is a, or whatever, there are different names for it. What do they call it? Handball. But this is mamish, like, okay, whatever. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Rava says, I used to play this game. The stakes were much higher over here. So the Gemara says, Kigon Eila Masacha kin begadar. Rava says, this is like those who play ball. Right? Look at Rashi says for just a moment. Kigon Eila Masacha kin begadar shahargu. So actually, let me read you the rest of the Braisa first. Kigon Eila Masacha kin begadar. Rava says, like people used to play this game. Shahargu bemezid neharagin. That if they kill the other individual bemezid, so they're put to death. Bishogeg golin. I will say, if they killed accidentally, they go to Gaul. So I will say, what's the game? What's the game? Look at Rashi. It's actually right across the Rashi. Going Eila Masach Kibakadar Shargu, Regilin Tinokos, Lahakos Akadar Bekosa Bekoach. So I will say, used to be the children would throw the ball against the wall with incredible strength. What was the goal? The goal was that the ball should ricochet off the wall as far as possible. Salachareha Harbe, Ulaacher Shazoriku, Rats, Vechaveiro Ochiz Eshakador, Umake Osoba. So I'll say, what's the case? I throw the ball against the wall. What if I'm the thrower, so what do I want to do? I want to get to the wall as quickly as possible. My friend, who's supposed to, well, I don't know if he's my friend for much longer, but yeah, sure. Right, he catches the ball, and what's his goal? His goal is to hit me with that ball as hard as possible. So the Gemara says, "Ahud zark b'kosa, ashmo inan tana." So the Gemara says, "Umakya oseba im yochol lechaven ahud zark b'kosa, ashmo inan tana." Tivniskayvim shetarugis chaver bechazara. So lacharel v'yesh b'kedei laham ischayv. So the Gemara is saying over here is the following: if I threw that ball hard enough against the wall that it could ricochet off the wall with force enough to kill someone, then I'm going to be chayv. If I threw it with that level of force intentionally, then I will be chayv. Unintentionally, I'll be putter. So the Gemara says, Rabosai, now even if I'm putter, that's still called shogeg, and ultimately, again, shogeg still gets galus. So we'll say, the Gemara says, pshita, b'mezid ne, I'm sorry, b'shogeg golin pshita. So we'll say, obviously, if I kill the guy accidentally, then I go to galus. That's obvious. To which the Gemara says, b'mezid neharogin itzrichale, itzarichale. Now we'll say, the truth is, what I really need this case for is to tell me the case of intentional. That if I intentionally ricochet that ball off the wall with enough force to kill someone, and it does kill someone, that I'm chayiv. We'll say, that's the novelty of this braisa. Ma'otem, what would I have thought? Hasras safeki. Because we'll say, I might have thought that maybe this is a case of hasra safek. We'll say, remember again, in order to execute someone, we have to give them hasra. Hasra has to be definitive. Maybe this is a case of hasra safek, doubtful safek. Why? Mi'emar dahajra Ultimately, again, who says it's going to ricochet? So the Gemara says, Kamashmala, no. Kamashmala, Rabbi say that if a person is intentionally ricocheting it off the wall and he's doing it with enough force that it could kill someone, we know that it has the requisite force to in fact kill someone. Tani Rav Tachlipa Bar Ma'arava Kamei De Rabbi Avo. Kigon Ilu HaMesachet Kin Bekad. Rabbi, so listen to this. Like those who play this game, Shahargu Toch Arba Amos Potter, Chutzla Arba Amos Chayer. Rabbi says an interesting distinction. If so, let's say I'm throwing the ball, and let's say I'm playing with Reuven. If Reuven is standing within Dalet Amos of the wall and dies within Dalet Amos, I'm going to be Potter. Outside of Dalet Amos, I'm going to be Chayiv. So we'll say, what's the logic over here? Amalei Rabbi Elazar Ravashi, Hechi Dami. What's the case? Idika Nechale. So we'll say, at the end of the day, now, what this means is, Idika Nechale is, if I didn't want the ball to go any further than it did, the Afilu Portanami, that even if he was standing less than Dalet Amos, it should be Chayiv. Idlo Nechale. And if again, I will say, I wanted the ball to go farther, Afilu Tuvanami lo. Amarle, Stam Mesachakin Bekador. Kama the ayol tve meinoch nechale. So we'll say ultimately again, when a person plays this game, so ultimately again they want the ball to what? To go as far as possible, because again, we'll say the goal of the game is to be able to reach the wall before your opponent is able to catch the ball and potentially throw it at you. Therefore, again, lemaisa, you want it to go as far as possible. And we'll say, now this yields a very important result. Lemaimra, is that to say? Now, we're going to end with three more lines, but Bosa, listen to this. So, here's the novelty of this. What now understanding is, if I throw whatever it is, a ball or a rock, whatever it is, against the wall, with the intention that it ricochet off the wall and kill someone, and it indeed does, so then what's going to be the halacha? I'm going to be chayiv. Okay, so with the wall ball cases, there are potentially some variables with this. But the mice in the pure case, Reuven standing over here, I throw the stone against the wall, I'm an expert stone thrower, ricochets, kills Reuven, I'm chayiv. Now we'll say, now what's novel about that case? What's novel about that case is, that doesn't seem to be my direct koach, because it's ricocheting off the wall, yet it appears that ricocheting off the wall is considered to be my direct koach, my direct force, and therefore I am going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, "Lemeimra, debichi agav mekochohu." What you're telling me, Rabbi, is that in the case of ricochet, so it is considered to be my direct force, or mini, but is that really true? After all, we learned, "Hamekadesh v'kidul v'nafal kilush al yado." Oh, Allah Tzad, va'achakach nafalu shokes pasor. Listen to this. I'm working with the ashes of the para aduma. And I will say, what happens? I have, let's say, a bowl of, or a receptacle of mayim chayim, right? Of some natural spring water. And then what happens? I'm sprinkling in the ash into the water. Some of the ash falls out of the container and either falls on the side of my hand or falls on the side of the container and then falls in afterwards. So we'll say, what's happening over here? That ash is not coming into the water directly through my force, but rather again through a secondary force. Either it falls on the side of my hand and then falls down, or it falls onto the receptacle and then falls in. What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? Pasul. Rabbi Osai, the halacha is that what? It is possible. Why is it possible, Rabbi Osai? Because the ash must be introduced to the water with what? With what? With my koach. So what do you see from here, Rabbi Osai? That secondary koach is not good. Rabbi Osai, now remember again, it's falling off my hand, or again, at the end of the day, it's in my hand, so it's falling onto the trough, or it's falling onto the receptacle, yet again, it's sliding in. So you see, if it doesn't come in through your direct koach, it's not good. So if that's the case, why would I be chai for the ricochet? To which the Gemara says, "Hacham askin, no, that's not a comparable case," and I'll tell you why. The Gemara says, "Beshoses." We'll say that case over there is where little shoses will say means trickling in. Look at Rashi. We'll say it's the first white line in Rashi. Beshoses lo nitaz mikoach nefila rishona el meatzmo chazer beshasas miadol l'shokes. Shoses. We'll say the case over here, and this is easier to explain ultimately, or really easier to illustrate. When the ash falls onto the receptacle, so let's say, imagine I have the water in a bowl, and then what happens? The ash falls onto, let's say, the edge of the bowl. It sits there. Then what happens? Over some amount of time, it then slides into the bowl. We'll say, that's not my koach at all. That's no longer my koach. Even if it was on my hand, and it fell from my hand ultimately onto the side of the bowl, then once it trickles in, that is no longer my koach. But I will say, that's not our case. Our case over here is where I am throwing the stone against the wall. It's my force that's causing it to ricochet, and therefore that'll still be considered kocho. The Gemara says, Tashma. We'll say one more case, then we'll stop. Machat shayin usuna alacher. We'll listen to this case. I have a needle. And I will say, my needle became tame. Tumas mace, whatever it is under the same roof as a mace. Then what happens? Well, so I say, how do you purify your needle? How do you purify your needle? You go and you purify with afara paraduma. So the Gemara says, vihiza alel. And I will say, what happens? So if you could imagine for just a moment the following. So I'm purifying my needle. I will say, just by the way, you understand, like, what different times we live in. So if I were to tell you, bad news, your needle just became tummy tumas mace, what would you say? I didn't know I had a needle. All right, but you know, fine, throw it out, get a new. It's just an amazing thing just to see. And I will say, just so you should understand, this is not just the idea that we live in a very disposable society. Baruch Hashem, we have incredible affluence and incredible wealth. Even the non-wealthy among us, the things we take for granted that we have are just, so I will say, it's something else also. You know, the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu vayivaser Yaakov levado, right? Yaakov Avinu ultimately again was left alone, right? It's Parshas Vayishlach, and that's Vayavek Yishmael. He gets into the fight with the Malach, with the Ish. So Rashi HaKadosh says, why was Yaakov Avinu alone? So what does it say? Shachach pachim kitanim. He forgot his small utensils. So we'll say, let's say for our equivalent, it would be, he forgot his Tupperware. He forgot his Tupperware on the other side of the Yarden, and he went back to get the Tupperware. So we'll say, so the Gemara, Rashi calls the Gemara that says, so from here we see that chavivin mamonam shel tzadikim aleim yoser megufon, that the tzadikim love their money, love their possessions more than they love their body. That Yaakov Avinu was willing to put himself in peril, being alone at night in strange territory. They love their possessions more than they love Sevmara, Leprag, Asim, Gur, Aryeh. So what does that mean? Tzadikim love their money more than they love their body. He says what it means is the tzadik realizes that even Tupperware is a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. That every single thing a person has, I will say, you know, we like to think, my health is a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. If a person has children, my children are a gift. My wife is a gift. You know, the big things in life are a gift. My Tupperware, I don't know, the last time a person opened up the drawer, saw the Tupperware, and felt like a surge of his odorous. Ribono Shel Olam, my gosh, the way they all fit into each other, and it's so beautiful. These milchiks, these fleishiks, these parav, it's exceptional, incredible. Generally, also, we don't think in those terms, because we only think of the big things as being a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. But the truth is, Rabbi say, a person has to realize everything. Your socks are a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. The bar of soap you have in the shower is a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. The Tupperware is a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. The needle is a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. So you have to be careful, because we live in such a disposable society, so often we forget that even the little things we only have, because the Ribono Shel Olam chooses to bestow it upon us. That's the most I get from this Gemara. So what happens? This guy has his needle. His needle became Tumetumas mace. So you would say, so now throw it out. How could I throw out a needle from the Ribono Shel Olam? So I'm not suggesting, therefore, like you stockpile, you know, your used paper plates because they're from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's not what I mean. But the idea is just it's a different Ashkafas Achaim for how you look at your Gashmius. So this guy, the way I like to frame this narrative is that this individual has a needle that becomes Tummy Tomas Mace. Could he throw it out? Quite easily. But how could you throw out the needle that the Ribono Shel Olam gives you? It's the same way like when your kids give you a card, right? It's objectively junk. It's objectively junk, right? Sometimes it doesn't even look nice, unless like the motor did it. Right? It says objectively junk. But what? But you hold on to it. Why? Why? Because your child gave it to you. So the needle, it would be a lot easier to go ahead and just throw it out. But again, how could I throw out the needle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me? So we'll say, so back to our regular schedule. Okay, I have to finish up here. So we'll say, what happens? The needle was sitting on a piece of pottery. Sitting on a piece of pottery. And then what happens? One more line. V'hiza'ala. And I both say, what happens? I went ahead and I poured the water of the Parah Aduma on it. But what's the problem? Safek ala mechat, safek ala cheres, vihiza umitza ala. So we'll say, what happens? I just don't remember, did I pour it intentionally on the earthenware, or did I pour it on the needle? Either way, what ended up happening was what? Some of the water mitza splattered on the, or splattered, maybe the wrong word, but splashed, thank you, splashed on the needle. So the needle ultimately, again, was splashed with the water, but I don't know, was my intention to put it on the needle, or was my intention to put it ultimately, again, on the earthenware? So what's that? Halacha Rabbah say? Haza asa pasul. Rabbi Osai, such a sprinkling is not good. Because what do you see from here, Rabbi Osai? That kavana, that even though, again, let's play this out. What's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario was that I went ahead and I poured it on the earthenware. But one thing is clear, which is what? That as a result of my act, the water splashed on the needle. It's my koach. But what do you see from here, Rabbi Osai? That the secondary type of koach is not legitimate. Amrav chinina bar yuhuda nina mishmei derav. Matzah, my Rabbi say, no. It's actually not mitzah, but rather, again, it's matzah. Rabbi say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rabbi say, it's 2, 4, 6 lines up in Rashi. Matzah itmar, lav lashon mitzvah, to have a hatazah katani, el lashon mitziah kilomar, hazah nimtseis alea, ve'en yadua in betrila hiza ale, o chazar mikoach atis. Rabbi say, the case over here, Rabbi say, is where I found the water sprinkled on the needle, but the mice, again, I don't know the circumstances around the sprinkling. So we'll say in that case where I found it and I don't know what happened, I can't rely on the fact that the needle is going to be tar. But we'll say the Gemara leaves the door open for the possibility that if as a result of my koach the water splashed on the needle, Enochinami, that might be good, because that might still be called my koach, and the needle itself might be tar, but that's not the metzias over here. The case that they're dealing with over here is, I find the needle has been soaked in water, but I don't know the metzias behind this. I also find that the earthenware utensils were splashed with water, so I don't know the metzias. I don't know if it was that the water was put on the needle, the water was put on the earthenware, it splashed somewhere, so because I don't know the circumstances surrounding the arrival of the water on the needle, therefore the needle still remains. The needle still ultimately will remain tummy. So we'll stop over here. So just understand, we're leaving off in the middle of this sugya. The Gemara introduced us to this concept that I will be chayiv for killing someone if the stone ricochets off the wall, because it's called my koach. Now the Gemara says, one second, how do you know that? Why are we assuming that if a stone ricochets off the wall, that's still called my koach? That's still called my force. Maybe that's called secondary force, which Rebosu would fall into the category of grama, for which I wouldn't be chayiv. So the conversation in Mirat Hashem continues tomorrow morning. So we'll say, tomorrow morning we're back to regular schedule. Gan HaEmuna, Mirat Hashem at 5:45 a.m., followed by the Daf at 5:55 a.m. Have a wonderful day.